Hey, it's Friday, which means I'm going to make this brief. There wasn't an Ed Said podcast yesterday. I had to run out right after the show and get to a doctor's appointment. It happens. It happens to all of us. And I am essentially a one-man show. I have a producer during the day, during the show, those 2 hours, who's handling the phones and turning on the mics and everything. Everything else, the research, pretty much me. Somebody else books the interviews. So everything else, the website updates, the podcasts, all the information, the research, that's all me. So I had a doctor's appointment and I had to bail. Sorry if you were looking for any bit from yesterday's show. If you email me, I can provide it in another way. On today's show, I talked to Fox News Radio's Eben Brown about Hurricane Matthew. And we also talked about parents undermining authority figures to the detriment of their own children, as there is a story right here in Connecticut that drove me crazy to no end. And also briefly, I looked at how data is a good way for companies to make money off you, utilizing it, not your personal information, but actually using what you're paying for. So buckle up and enjoy this edition of Ed Says for Friday, October 7th, 2016.
Hurricane Matthew hits Florida. Just the warnings coming out of it are crazy. The damage done, over 100 killed in Haiti, I believe. And there's just the numbers are terrifying. How destructive this hurricane is. And the fact that there are people who would want to stay in the path blows my mind. I get wanting... I get it, but I don't. You know, when they say Category 4 and what it can do to you, even if it goes down to a Cat 3, a Cat 3 is still serious business. Shepard Smith saying that this could kill you and your children, as if trying to tell people, to convey to people who are staying, how dangerous it is. The good news for us in Connecticut is that the weather here seems to have been cleared. It was supposed to rain. We might have caught it had it gone up the coast, but it looks like it's set to turn out to sea. So in Connecticut, we will be spared. And it says today it'll hit the top of Florida. It'll be a Category 3 when it hits South Carolina. Tomorrow it should be a 2. And then out to sea being a 2 and a 1 by Monday morning. And it shouldn't make it any more than maybe halfway up the coast of North Carolina, according to this map that I'm looking at. But it is weather. You never know what will happen. But Florida going to see the majority of the damage. And just the sheer power of these storms is terrifying. The Weather Service issuing a dire warning, saying that Florida may be uninhabitable for weeks or months, similar to the one sent before Katrina in 2005. Extremely dangerous, life-threatening weather conditions for the next 12 to 24 hours, the Weather Service said. 11-foot storm surges, 15 inches of rain. Unlike any hurricane in decades, according to the Weather Service. Unbelievable. Governor Rick Scott describing it as a monster. You still have time to leave. There is no reason to take a chance. 130 mile an hour winds for a Category 4. It's incredible, the destructive force of something like this. Roughly 6 million people live in areas that are under a hurricane or tropical storm warning or watch. Looking at billions of dollars in damage, they're already putting up estimates. 269 people in three Caribbean countries. 264 in Haiti. Matthew looking to hit as a Cat 4. And the question is if Florida could get hit twice, if it could circle back. We're going to talk to Fox News Radio's Eben Brown, hopefully from Miami, with an update, unless he got blown away by it. A direct hit in Florida could lead to massive destruction on a level unseen since Andrew in 1992. Mandatory evacuations go from Miami to the Florida-Georgia border. There are those who stayed behind, stocked up on supplies, and are hoping for the best. I just can't fathom it. Hopefully those who did leave, sometimes you see that pets get left behind. Hopefully that's not the case. How bad is it? Disney World closed 5 p.m. yesterday and will not reopen today as the storm approaches. It affects the theme parks, water parks, Disney Springs, golf courses, and the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex. No word on Saturday. I can only assume that Saturday they won't be in operation as well as they are planning on, will have to plan on repairs and reconstruction probably. Saw an interesting story about Waffle Houses in the area. The Awful Waffle, always good for a late night meal. And they have a plan. They're going to shut down as well. They're going to heed the evacuations, but they have teams that will go in and get them up and running immediately and be providing food to people in the area. And that's pretty cool. And then the president was on saying that, you know, those that are working there will be compensated. Obviously, they're not there during the storm, but as soon as the all clear is given, they go in and start providing food and services to those who need it. And that's pretty cool. Meanwhile, Halloween events at the parks have been canceled. Disney evacuated its Fort Wilderness campground as they're trying to help others make lodging arrangements. And they announced, you know, the closure of a bunch of other things. And it's rare for them to close. They've done so for Charlie in 2004 and Floyd in 99. It is serious, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon. You got people filling sandbags. They're putting the iron curtains on their home. And the mayor at Daytona Beach urging residents against being emboldened by going all these years without a direct hit. Sometimes not getting one for a while makes you feel brave. One individual there has lived there for 25 years, said he's not going anywhere. Says honk for the hurricane party. I mean, get out of here. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown now calling in live from Miami. Good morning, Evan. How are you?
Good morning from Broward County, actually, not Miami.
Today. Oh, you moved. Or were you in Miami?
No, not today.
So how's it going down there? When did the storm hit? Has it hit you directly? Are you far enough out? Is it still a Cat 4? What's happening?
Okay, well, it's a Category 3, but it's still a very powerful storm. It's north of Daytona Beach now, along the coast, and traveling along the coastline, really going further north, pummeling every coastal community along the way. There are about 600,000 or so people in the state of Florida now that don't have power. And won't be getting power for quite some time because of how much damage has been done to the power grid and how much the roads are impacted that line crews can't get past the damage to be able to get to the point that they need to work. So this is a significant storm, which I think everyone was in agreement it would be. We are still watching storm surge coming in along a lot of the coast now north of Daytona into the beyond Daytona, eventually upwards towards the Jacksonville area. And that's where we'll see even more destruction going forward today. And then the storm will move into Georgia, and it'll just do more of the same there. It's a very unique storm. Normally we think about storms making landfall and coming inland and dissipating. That's not happening because it's not really making a true landfall. It's sort of staying above the sea, although very close to shore. Its hurricane force winds extend out in a good 60-mile radius or so. Tropical storm force winds are even out further than that. And as it's traveling essentially over water but close to land, it still gets to keep its energy and its force. So it's not depleting very quickly the way we're used to seeing that happen with these storms once they come near land.
And so the thing that people need to recognize is a Category 3 is still a completely dangerous phenomenon. And it seems as though there's been a number of people who have decided to stick it out. Have you seen or heard any reports of those people changing their minds, or are they still bunkered in?
You know, there are some people who came into shelters and got into inland areas late last night having changed their mind. It usually happens that when they start to see that storm surge roll in, they they begin to have a different idea about what it is they want to do. So, people do make late decisions to evacuate, but eventually, if there comes a point in time where it's too late to evacuate and you have no choice but to stay where you are and hope for the best. And I would say that that's happening in the, north of Daytona now. Those communities all the way up to St. Augustine, if they hadn't evacuated yet, it's beyond the safe time to do that now. Now you must stay.
And there is speculation that there's a chance that Matthew could hook out into the sea and meet up with what is now Tropical Storm Nicole and maybe come back around?
It's more than speculation. It's the official track from the Hurricane Center. So what it would do is that it would, after getting towards the Carolinas, it would pull out to sea and then almost go south again and then come in at almost a complete circle. And South Florida is back in the cone again, the five-day forecast cone. Whether or not it would merge with Hurricane Nicole is unknown at this point, but Hurricane Nicole is out there. And Nicole is a weaker storm. It's not necessarily, and on its own, Nicole is not predicted to come towards land, but the combination of the two storms may change all of that. So it's way too early to know what that's going to happen. What we can say with some great degree of certainty is that the force that is Matthew will go out to sea and come back and eventually re-impact land, even though it's a weaker storm.
That's incredible. A double hit for Southern Florida there. Well, Evan Brown, Fox News Radio, stay safe, stay dry. Don't go for any of those stand-ups out in the high wind, okay?
Try not to.
All right, have a good one. Be careful out there. 888-574-2723, the number into the studio. I saw some fascinating radar, which was at the eye of the storm. You could see the birds that were in the center of it, who just happened to be in the eye and stayed in the comm center and are traveling with the storm, hoping for a break to get through. And it's just crazy that there were that many that you could see it on radar. And Florida looking at getting hit a second time. If you have thoughts on how we discipline our kids these days, all the precious snowflakes and that coach that got fired, the volunteer coach that got fired. Let's go to Jay in Hartford. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Well, hey, just wanted to comment. I tell you something. The system is crazy. Now, I'm 54 years old. Coaches, teachers, I've been out of school a long time, and things they taught you when you were young, you never forget. And to fire that guy is absolutely insane. And number two, that's being a real man. When you see something and give a corrective measure like that, nothing too strenuous, nothing crazy, but to make him think, okay, you can't go around bullying people. You can't go around doing that. And for the board to do that to that man, probably some board member's child or some family member wasn't playing and they coming back to hit him, to fire the guy. But it's absolutely insane. And I feel in this day and time, I feel for teachers and the folks working in the school system. It's absolutely atrocious in this day and time.
I have for whatever reason, I have a lot of friends that are either lawyers or friends that are teachers. Those seem to be the occupations that most of my friends have. And I was actually speaking to one who's got his doctorate now. He's a vice principal. And he tells me stories all the time about how he gets undercut and that the biggest beef is between the teachers and the administration.
Absolutely. Because I have a friend, a teacher, she works in Suffield. And she, just speaking of this yesterday, she was telling me, you can't even compliment the kids. You you can't do none of that. You can't, hey, how's your day going? Pat them on the head. You can't do none of that.
You can't have normal human relationships with the kids.
And so I'm saying, who is behind this in the school system? It's totally atrocious. It really is.
Yeah, I guess it's any culpability, it's deniability, the fear of lawsuits. It's a cyclical thing because one thing happens, so one bad incident happens, and then the administration has to go, well, we have to protect ourselves. So that's where you get all these silly rules and the zero tolerance and then other parents see an opportunity, the bad parents see an opportunity to make money, mm-hmm. and they take advantage of it. And it's cyclical, and it's silly. Jay, I appreciate...
You know something? It's true. And you know something? It's running us in the ground. It's running this country in the ground. And
yeah,
it's sad. And I'm sad to say this. In 2016, we're in trouble in this country if we don't change. If we don't get these folks out of these positions and get the country back thinking, you know, right-thinking people, we're in trouble.
Well, I appreciate the call. 888-574-2723. And you know what? You said the thing. The punishment fit. Running laps. Anybody who's ever run knows it's plenty of time in your own head. All I think about when I run is, when is this going to be over? Have I done my however many miles or minutes yet? Please end soon. So you know that kid had to be thinking about what got them there, why they were there, what they had done. So it was reasonable. And the other thing that made me laugh was that vice principal friend of mine relayed a story that it took him 14 years, but he knew he had made it when somebody had, we'll just call him Mr. Smith, had written F you, Mr. Smith, in Sharpie on the bathroom wall. That's how he knew he had made it. And the thing is, he said it had been a recently disciplined kid who had asked to use the bathroom, like post-discipline, and happened to always carry or have a Sharpie in his front pocket, and it was discovered quickly, but it was the perfect crime for this kid, I guess. Hey, I just got in trouble. Let me ask if I can go to the bathroom and scribble my nonsense on the wall. It's harder and harder for educators to, you know, do what they're supposed to do because they have to tiptoe and tap dance. And I hate to bring it back, but it does take a village. There is a society here. You can't, if you want your kid to live in a bubble in which nobody is going to correct them, nobody is going to say anything to them. Let me tell you this right now. If your kid is being a little S in the grocery store or any store, causing trouble, knocking things off, I will say something to them. And when you say to me, don't talk to my kid like that, well, first of all, I'm going to say, hey, kid, can knock it off. You're making a mess. That's not yours to do. Whatever. I'll say, I'm not going to touch the kid. I'm not going to hit the kid, but I will use corrective words. And if you want to get in my face saying, nobody disciplines my kid but me, I will say, then get to disciplining. Because what your kid doing is inappropriate. In a society, we live by communal rules. And your little precious snowflake, when they enter outside of the home, has to abide by them. And if you don't want them to, don't leave the house. Don't entrust them into the care of others or the tutelage of others. But to think that you get 100% in, the only input on your child's life is detrimental to them. Because then what happens? What happens when they go into the workforce? Oh, my boss just yelled at me. Oh, boo-hoo. Wham, mommy, can you talk to him? Tell him not to yell at me. I would laugh your kid out of the building. Especially in an industry like this that is run on sarcasm and quips and the shortest of communications. If I get an email over 3 words long regarding anything, I know something's gone bad. So if you need constant reassurance in the adult world, if you need to have your feelings massaged, you're going to be in for a hard time. And parents who do this, they are doing a disservice to their children. And don't think it doesn't have an effect. You read plenty about these kids that are going off to college whose parents either show up to meetings or will email professors. I would be embarrassed to do that. And you're raising kids who take pride in it. Or at least accept it. If my parents had been more actively involved in my college career, it might have gone a little better. I will give them that. But that would have been their influence on me, not them going into the school and taking care of things. You have to learn responsibility at some point or another. And I am I'm for arrested development. It took me years to get my act together. But I knew that my actions had repercussions. I might not make the right decisions all the time, and I paid for it, and I accepted it. I might have thought I knew better. I didn't. Not the brightest. I figured it out, I feel. I feel like I've got things going well now. But it just drives me nuts to know that people are out there who want to do good things like this coach, who want to shape good kids, are undermined by this fake bureaucracy, by maybe power tripping, or maybe a vendetta. We don't know. We're not sure. I don't know if we'll ever know the full details. Again, the speculation was that maybe a parent had a vendetta. Maybe this was just the excuse they were looking for. Who knows? It's just silly. And it sounds like that team lost a good coach. And if there's one thing we need in this world for the kids, it's more good coaches, more good teachers, more good people. Less snowflakes. 888-574-2723. I wanted to talk quickly about the how data is becoming the new source as our cellular and our internet and television, our cable providers are metering it more, putting caps on it. Comcast rolling out 1 terabyte data caps nationwide in a bunch of places. Now, the average user uses 75 gigabytes, which is nothing. 1 terabyte of data per month is a ton. But as we see more people cutting the cord and consuming their entertainment and information via the internet only, I don't have cable. I have internet. I use my Roku to see all my shows. I pay my subscription services, and I have my internet. Not sure what my service is, but as time goes on and more cloud, as you're moving things, video, if you're shooting videos, you're moving them up, you're moving them down, you're going to use more data. And the idea that these caps are being placed, while it might just be a small percentage of users now, that usage is going to grow, because I would be curious to see what the average user uses, you know, 5 years ago. They say right now it's 75 gigabytes, but then you're talking about HD and 4K resolution. That number is going to balloon as we're streaming more music and more video. This cap is being set in place to capitalize not on the 1%, but on the 99% that will transition to inflate that 1%. And it needs to be looked at, because remember, we paid for the network upgrades, some of which didn't happen. Look to the great swindle, I believe it was in the mid to late 90s. And then they will charge you with $10 for an additional 50 gigs, limiting $200 per month, or unlimited you have to pay for upfront for another $50 over your current bill. It's something that you have to keep an eye on. Oh, and that, apparently Comcast's meter can't really be trusted, that according to Ars Technica. So it's a war that will continue to be fought when it comes to data.